First Law. Mike Donovan looked at his empty beer mug, felt bored, and decided he had listened long enough. He said loudly, "If we're going to talk about unusual robots, I once knew one that disobeyed the First Law." And since that was completely impossible, everyone stopped talking and turned to look at Donovan. Donovan regretted his big mouth at once and changed the subject. "I heard a good one yesterday," he said conversationally, "about..." McFarlane, in the chair next to Donovan, said, "You mean you knew a robot that harmed a human being?" That was what disobedience to First Law meant, of course. "In a way," said Donovan. "I say, I heard one about..." "Tell us about it," ordered McFarlane. Some of the others banged their beer mugs on the table. Donovan made the best of it. "It happened on Titan about 10 years ago," he said, thinking rapidly. "Yes, it was in 25. We had just recently received a shipment of 3 new model robots, specially designed for Titan. They were the first of the MA models. We called them Emma 1, 2, and 3. He snapped his fingers for another beer and stared earnestly after the waiter. "Let's see, what came next?" McFarlane said, "I've been in robotics half my life, Mike. I never heard of an MA serial order." "That's because they took the MAs off the assembly lines immediately after what I'm going to tell you. Don't you remember?"
"No."
Donovan continued hastily. "We put the robots to work at once. You see, until then, the base had been entirely useless during the stormy season, which lasts 80% of Titan's revolution about Saturn. During the terrific snows, you couldn't find the base if it were only 100 yards away. Compasses aren't any use, because Titan hasn't any magnetic field. The virtue of these MA robots, however, was that they were equipped with vibro-detectors of a new design, so they could make a beeline for the base through anything, and that meant mining could become a through-the-revolution affair. And don't say a word, Mac. The vibro-detectors were taken off the market also, and that's why you haven't heard of them." Donovan coughed. "Military secrets, you understand." He went on. "The robots worked fine during the first stormy season. Then, at the start of the calm season, Emma 2 began acting up. She kept wandering off into corners and under bales and had to be coaxed out. Finally, she wandered off base altogether and didn't come back. We decided there had been a flaw in her manufacture and got along with the other two. Still, it meant we were short-handed, or short-roboted anyway. So, when toward the end of the calm season, someone had to go to Kumsk, I volunteered to chance it without a robot. It seemed safe enough. The storms won't do for 2 days, and I'd be back in 20 hours at the outside. I was on the way back, a good 10 miles from base, when the wind started blowing and the air thickening. I landed my air car immediately before the wind could smash it, pointed myself toward the base, and started running. I could run the distance in the low gravity all right, but could I run a straight line? That was the question. My air supply was ample, and my suit heat coils were satisfactory. But 10 miles in a Titanian storm is infinity. Then, when the snow streams changed everything to a dark, gooey twilight, with even Saturn dimmed out, and the sun only a pale pimple, I stopped short and leaned against the wind. There was a little dark object right ahead of me. I could barely make it out, but I knew what it was. It was a storm pup, the only living thing that could stand a Titanian storm, and the most vicious living thing anywhere. I knew my space suit wouldn't protect me, once it made for me, and in the bad light, I had to wait for a point-blank aim, or I didn't dare shoot. One miss, and he'd be at me. I backed away slowly, and the shadow followed. It closed in, and I was raising my blaster with a prayer, when a bigger shadow loomed over me suddenly, and I yodeled with relief. It was Emma 2, the missing MA robot. I never stopped to wonder what had happened to it, or worry why it had. I just howled, "Emma baby, get that storm pup, and then get me back to base." It just looked at me, as if it hadn't heard, and called out, "Master, don't shoot, don't shoot." It made for that storm pup at a dead run. "Get that damn pup, Emma," I shouted. It got the pup all right. It scooped it right up and kept on going. I yelled myself hoarse, but it never came back. It left me to die in the storm. Donovan paused dramatically. "Of course, you know the first law. A robot may not injure a human being, or through an action, allow a human being to come to harm. Well, Emma too just ran off with that storm pup and left me to die. It broke first law." Luckily, I pulled through safely. Half an hour later, the storm died down. It had been a premature gust, and a temporary one. That happens sometimes. I hot-footed it for base, and the storms really broke next day. Emma too returned 2 hours after I did. And of course, the mystery was then explained, and the MA models were taken off the market immediately. "And just what," demanded McFarlane, "was the explanation?" Donovan regarded him seriously. "It's true, I was a human being in danger of death, Mac. But to that robot, there was something else that came first, even before me, before the first law. Don't forget, these robots were of the MA series, and this particular MA robot had been searching out private nooks for some time before disappearing. It was as though it expected something special and private to happen to it. Apparently, something special had." Donovan's eyes turned upward reverently, and his voice trembled. "That storm pup was no storm pup. We named it Emma Jr. when Emma II brought it back. Emma II had to protect it from me gun. What is even the first law compared with the holy ties of mother love?"